Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 42 degrees under overcast skies. Today is Thursday, March 13th, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. An important deadline is approaching for U.S. residents not already covered by a health care plan, either through Medicare, their employer, or a private insurance company. The open enrollment period for the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, is March 31st. That's only 19 days away. Andrea Thomas is the enrollment manager for the Southeast Alaska Regional Health Consortium in Sitka. She's been helping area residents navigate the sometimes complicated enrollment process. But she says there's lots of help available, either by getting in touch with her or by calling the National Health Exchange toll-free number, which is staffed 24 hours a day. Thomas answered questions about enrollment during a 90-minute call-in program on Raven Radio Wednesday morning. Here's a little of what it sounded like.
You pay a monthly premium, and that's how much you pay for your insurance. The tax credit from the federal government through the Affordable Care Act is what helps you pay for your premiums. And depending on your income, you could have a tax credit of $200. It could go up to $600. It all depends. And they pay that tax credit, that part of your premium, directly to the insurance company. And then you pay your part directly to the insurance company.
Even though she works at Surge, Thomas is available to help all Sitkins find a health insurance plan that fits them. Her services are free of charge. You can listen to the entire call-in program and find a schedule of enrollment events on our website, kcaw.org. The next event is tonight from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., at UAS Sitka. On Tuesday night, the Sitka Assembly heard from School Board Clerk Tim Fulton, who introduced the new Superintendent of Sitka Schools, Mary Wegner. Wegner was Sitka's Assistant Superintendent before being hired for the top job, and she in turn made an introduction of her own.
The first question that was asked of me when I was selected was, who will be my replacement? And so I am very thrilled to say that today I have a replacement. Robin Taylor is the assistant principal at Blatchley Middle School.
Wegner said that before coming to Sitka, Taylor was named 2010 Principal of the Year by the Alaska Association of Secondary Schools Principals. The assembly also heard from a representative of the Department of Natural Resources about a proposed sale of state land at Nakwasina Sound, about 8 miles north of Sitka. The DNR is proposing to sell 485 acres of land along the water on the west side of Lisanski Peninsula near Dog Point. The land is off Sitka's road system, about 3 miles north of the Stargavin Ferry Terminal by water. Assembly member Ben Mayasato asked DNR resource manager Tim Schilling what kind of public response the plan had received.
Has there been any opposition to the 485-acre and does it affect anyone in that area?
As of thus far, we did hold a public open house yesterday evening, and we had 13 in attendance. There was not any objection raised at that time, nor have we received any public comment as of yet. I've been in the process of traveling, so as of Friday, when I was last able to check, we had not received any public comment, either for or against the proposed project.
The proposed land for sale wraps around 160 acres owned by Sitka's Littlefield family. The Littlefields first staked it two generations ago under the Alaska Native Allotment Act. For years, they have run the Dog Point Fish Camp for kids on the property each summer. Reached by phone, John Littlefield told KCAW that he has some concerns about the plan and will submit comment to the DNR this week. Mostly, he said, he wants to make sure that subsistence and historic sites on the peninsula are protected and that areas are set aside for public recreational use. He said he's also concerned that the proposal calls for dividing the land into no more than 50 parcels. He would like to see smaller parcels, he said, so that individuals can afford to purchase the land rather than larger developers. The period for public comment on the proposal ends March 20th. Over the past two legislative sessions, conservative lawmakers have backed a constitutional amendment that would allow public money to be spent at private schools. School boards, including Sitka's, have been vocal in their opposition to the bill, arguing that it would be felt especially hard by rural districts. Yesterday, rural legislators prevailed, The grand showdown never came, as the bill was pulled before it moved to the Senate floor for a vote. APRN's Alexandra Gutierrez reports.
For the past few days, staffers, reporters, and lawmakers alike have made a pastime of counting the votes for Senate Joint Resolution 9. It's rare that legislation will go on the floor calendar unless it's guaranteed to pass. But as an amendment to the Alaska Constitution, SJR 9 needs two-thirds approval to go forward, and a sizable contingent of Democrats and moderate Republicans have vocally opposed it. As many suspected, the support was just not there. After delaying the floor session Wednesday for a couple hours to talk strategy, leadership announced they would hold the bill in the legislative limbo that is the Senate Rules Committee instead of bringing it out for a vote. Senator Mike Dunleavy, a MATSU Republican who is sponsoring the bill, says that does not mean the bill is dead.
I know some folks may look at this and say, this is a way of politely killing the bill. That's not my intention at all. That's not the intention of leadership. It's, again, just getting some additional information and having some additional discussions with folks this week.
Dunleavy says he wants information on the legality of education programs the state is already offering, like the Alaska Performance Scholarship. But he would not elaborate any more on that information, except to say he thinks it could turn a couple votes. Dunleavy adds he wants to see the amendment back on the Senate schedule as soon as possible, and he thinks there's value in having a floor debate, even if there's not certainty a measure will pass.
You want to be careful that there's not a gaming of the system where all the decisions are made off the floor. There should be floor debates, there should be floor votes, and there'll be votes that pass and there'll be votes that fail.
Senator Gary Stevens, a Kodiak Republican who has been a firm opponent of the measure, says it's going to be an uphill battle for those who want it to pass. While the amendment may not be technically dead, it's arguably comatose.
Clearly, they didn't have the votes. They needed 14 votes. And I talked to several members of the, you know, of the caucus who also opposed to it. And, you know, I think at least five members of our 15-member caucus are very much opposed to it.
Stevens says pulling SJR 9 allows Senate leadership to keep the measure alive and save a little bit of face. Like Dunleavy, he would not have minded having a discussion on the floor about what the measure means for the state. While Dunleavy argues that SJR 9 could expand options for students and their parents, Stevens is worried it would lead to an expensive voucher system and drain resources from public schools. He was prepared to speak to that on Wednesday.
The debate is good, and we should do that more. You know, I think there's sort of a tendency, though, on the part of a majority caucus not to want to put something on the floor and have it fail. It's sort of a sign of weakness, and very seldom does that happen in this body. Very seldom do you see either the House or the Senate put something on the floor when they know it's going to fail.
Out of more than 1,000 bills introduced since 2011, only three pieces of legislation have failed on the floor, according to data compiled by Gavel Alaska. A companion to SJR 9 has also been introduced in the House, but it has yet to come to a vote in that chamber. Any amendment to the Alaska Constitution needs two-thirds approval from both chambers of the legislature and then support from a majority of registered voters in the state. In Juneau, I'm Alexandra Gutierrez.
And the Alaska legislature could join the chorus of voices calling for an American Indian Veterans Memorial on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. An Alaska Senate committee on Tuesday passed a resolution supporting the project. KTOO's Casey Kelly reports.
Native Americans have fought in every United States military conflict since the Revolutionary War and have some of the highest per capita service rates of any ethnic group. Since Alaska became a U.S. territory and later a state, Alaska Natives have served their country as well. During World War II, the Alaska Territorial Guard included more than 6,000 volunteer soldiers from more than 100 communities. Kalissa Maley is an intern in the office of Senator Bill Willikowski, an Anchorage Democrat.
American Indians have established a long and distinguished legacy of military service. Senate Joint Resolution 19 affirms the Alaska State Legislature's support of Alaska Native and Native American veterans and recognizes their great sacrifices for our country.
Willikowski sponsored SJR 19, which passed out of the Senate State Affairs Committee Tuesday. He says the American Indian Veterans Memorial is sponsored by the Alaska Federation of Natives, the National Congress of American Indians, and Vietnam Veterans of America, among other groups.
There was several people that came up from Florida to attend AFN and push for this resolution. I attended the Vietnam Veterans of America National Conference in Florida last year, and they were there. I spoke with people there. They were urging us to do this as well.
In 1994, Congress approved the Native American Veterans Memorial Act, but the project didn't go anywhere. Stephen Bowers, a member of the Seminole Tribe of Florida and a Vietnam vet, started lobbying Native American groups to support the memorial in 2011. He says it's long overdue.
It'll mean that finally someone's recognizing the fact that the American Indians fought for this country and against the European invaders back since 1492.
While Bowers says many supporters want the memorial to be built near the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, President Obama late last year signed legislation to place it at the National Museum of the American Indian, 2 miles away. Bowers says the location isn't as important as getting a memorial concept approved, a process he says will take several years.
When they built the National Mall, they didn't make it easy for organizations or for anyone to put a statue or a memorial on the mall.
Bowers expects the National Museum of the American Indian to sponsor a contest and form a committee to shepherd the project through the design phase. Senate Joint Resolution 19 now heads to a vote on the floor of the Alaska Senate. In Juneau, I'm Casey Kelly.
And that's all for Raven News for this morning. It's 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka, 42 degrees in downtown Sitka under overcast skies. The weather forecast for our listening region calls for rain today with some snow in Yakutat and Cake, strong winds in Sitka and PA this evening, and temperatures in the low to mid-40s. We're going to rejoin NPR's Morning Edition. I'll be back with you at 18 minutes after the hour with a live local interview with Jeff Johnston. Stay tuned. Good morning.